Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to NWCR's radio show brought to you on Blog Talk Radio through a new and reformed Conservative Nation Media. We strive to bring you the best programming and best news content that will show all the lamestream lying media won't show you, and now on with the show. One of the things that I've been talking about when it comes to the standing for the national anthem is contained in a letter that was written by a 10-year-old recently, sent to Donald Trump from a Tennessee man named Joseph, the father of an Air Force Master Sergeant currently on his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. Joseph wrote the letter while his son was serving in Iraq to remind him of everything that was at stake. "Please don't lose sight of your purpose," Joseph had written. "You're the only hope, glimmer of life, light for the good, innocent men, women, and children that you are protecting. This may be hard for you to see or understand. Most people know that all of you are there because you volunteered to be there. Your actions and dedication are seen by people throughout the world as without a doubt the most heroic action of any person that can be made. You and the soldiers standing next to you from all the other countries are the pride of not only the nations they represent, but every individual that yearns to be free. Stand tall, my friend, my son, and be steadfast, for it is you who are the defender of freedom." When it comes to standing for the national anthem instead of kneeling, it is for them that you stand, in reverence to the sacrifices they made with their very lives, so that you all can kneel in and be stupid in your knowledge that you think you know, but you don't. Standing is for the freedoms that were fought and won for you by someone else who didn't kneel before anything but God and stood for the sacrifices of others so that they could be free too. That is why you should be standing in reverence to those who fought and died for your freedoms. That is why you stand. You kneel when praying to God, not when protesting. Welcome to the show.
That there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot, I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hour one of the New Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism radio show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the doctor of this republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Good afternoon, and the plot thickens and Hillary Clinton should be terrified. She has been getting away with anything she damn well pleases for so long that she's probably not as scared as she should be, but instead of smirking at the attempt to hold her to account. You know that smirk, the one that turned off millions of swing voters and helped elect Donald Trump. The smirk that says, I am better than you peasants, that says I am above the law, that says you know nothing and I know everything. That smirk, combined with her fake laugh, turned America against Hillary almost as much as her blatant corruption. According to the new report from NBC News, the smirk is gone, wiped from her face by none other than Attorney General Jeff Sessions. NBC News report said, on the orders of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Justice Department prosecutors have begun asking FBI agents to explain the evidence they found in the now dormant criminal investigation into a controversial uranium deal that critics have linked to Bill and Hillary Clinton, multiple law enforcement officials told NBC News. The smirk is gone, and it will be replaced by astronomical legal bills that Clintons haven't seen since Bill was impeached. The interviews with FBI agents are part of the Justice Department's effort to fulfill a promise an assistant attorney general made to Congress last month to examine whether a special counsel was warranted to look into what has become known as Uranium One deal, a senior Justice Department official said. Correct. We need to get to the bottom of this sham deal after all. We are a country ruled by laws, not by political influence, no matter what the Clintons used to get away with. We have a new sheriff in town, and it looks like Hillary may be running out of places to hide. If I can say about this, it's about time. But knowing the Clintons, we may still have to wait a bit as they hem and haw over the legality of all of this. After all, for generations, they have gotten away with anything they damn well please. I don't think that will go away without some fighting, but I think the end for them is coming. Hopefully, they will get what they truly deserve, jail time and a smackdown that will take some of the smugness off of their faces, especially the Hildebeest. I am working right now to get the chat room open, trying to figure that one out as we speak, as I have to open. Okay, there we go. I'll open this up just a little bit farther here and try to get chat open. Okay. Now let's see if that will open. And if it doesn't, then I'll have to go somewhere else and try and figure out another way to get it open. But it kind of looks like it may be opening, but I'm not sure. I'm in the process of hoping here. Got my fingers crossed. But if it doesn't, I'll have to open up another window. Ben Rhodes, the former Obama Deputy National Security Advisor, mused about the deaths of top Republicans on Twitter Thursday before being scolded by GOP Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who was severely injured in the June congressional baseball practice shooting. Ben Rhodes at BR Rhodes, or at brhodes.com, said, and alongside the obits for Ryan, McConnell, and Pence, whereas Steve Scalise scolded him back, you may want to consider your rhetoric. Rhodes issued the inflammatory tweet in response to fellow Obama White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer, who joked that he hopes President Donald Trump's Instagram photo celebrating the passage of the GOP tax reform bill appears on the front page of New York Times when Trump is indicted. Pfeiffer didn't specify what Trump would be indicted for. Now, this is something that none of the Democrats do either. They just call for indictment. They just call for impeachment, but they don't bring up any reasons for it or any reason for why he should be. It just kind of happens, and they don't think anything about it. They just think that since they have been in charge for so long, that if they would just continue doing what they want, then this kind of thing will always happen. I think I got the chat room open now. It's connecting, finally. and I can get going on this. I am hoping that maybe Kathy will show up today. I'm not exactly sure. Since it's the day before Christmas, and I was going to do an hour and a half show here today, but I'm thinking that since it is Christmas Eve today, and it snowed here, so we may have a white Christmas, I am not exactly sure. But, you know, unless the snow melts, which is very possible, because the snow out there is so wet that if you take a snowball of it and scrunch it down, make it into a snowball, it's a pile of slush. So that's essentially what we got going here. But Kathy comes in, we'll get her on the show. But if she doesn't, we'll attempt to do this next week with her. She is one of the foremost authorities that I know of that when it comes to Islam and Muslims and what they are doing to this nation. She has her blog on called Daily Roll Call, which has a lot of stuff on it on Islam. And if she doesn't come in tonight, then I will go ahead and try and get her in here for tomorrow night, or not tomorrow night, but next week, as we'll be here next week, of course, and I think next week will be actually New Year's Eve. So next week will be the last show of the year for us. So we've actually got ourselves a good start on this show. Hopefully with this next new year that we've got coming up, we'll get some more shows on Conservative Nation Media. We'll be able to do the things that we were doing before Conservative Nation Media kind of had its problems and dissipated. Is there for a while, if you'll remember, we had shows on almost every night of the week, and we were actually doing really well at that point in time. But that is something that hopefully we will get back. But I was talking about Rhodes and Pfeiffer saying that Trump would be indicted, but they didn't give an idea of what it's for. But Rhodes agreed and added that the image should also accompany the obituaries of Vice President Mike Pence, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and House Speaker Paul Ryan. Scalise, who spent weeks in critical condition after he was shot during the practice of the annual congressional baseball game, suggested that Rhodes reassess his messages. The sweeping tax reform bill, the most comprehensive of its kind in over three decades, passed both chambers largely among party lines Tuesday. And largely is kind of like an understatement. Every Democrat voted against it. Every Republican voted for it. So that's largely on party lines. The House passed the bill again Wednesday after the last-minute revisions made in the Senate to ensure the bill complied with budget rules. Trump is expected to sign the bill into law on January 3rd to prevent automatic spending cuts to Medicare from taking effect. It seems that there are more and more times that we hear a Democrat musing about the deaths of a Republican. For some reason, which is not the right thing to do in anybody's world of ethics, even the Democrats who profess this. I mean, think about it. What would these same people, Ben Rhodes, for example, do if some Republican came out and tweeted that same thing he did, only about Obama or Durbin or Pelosi? Can you imagine the weeks and weeks of indignation from the media and Rhodes if this had happened? But turn the tables back the way they were or are, and they think it is perfectly okay to wish upon the deaths of Pence or Trump or even Scalise. Remember when he was shot. If people would just stop and think about that before opening their pie holes, they would stop and realize that is not the right thing to do. But this nation is full of namby-pamby, panty-waist Democrats and liberals who think the world is there for them to do anything they damn well please and anything they want, but holding to a strict line of conduct for the other side. this is not the world we live in, even though the left thinks it is. This kind of thing has to stop, which is why I am excited about the law side of things that is starting to haunt the Clintons. And that is pretty freaking awesome to me. we will be right back after these messages, and we will see you in a few.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound chihuahua-looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
When you need to know what America stands for, Conservative Nation Media will let you know. The Second Amendment is taught here, along with why it needs to stay.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back. From Victor Davis Hanson comes this one about California, and it's a great must-listen-to article. He titled it Christmas Lessons from California. Rarely has such a naturally rich and scenic region become so mismanaged by so many creative and well-intentioned people. In California, Yuletide rush hours are apparently the perfect time for state workers to shut down major freeways to make long overdue repairs to the ancient pavement. Last week, I saw thousands of cars stuck in a road construction zone that was juxtaposed with a huge concrete but only quarter-built high-speed rail overpass nearby. The multi-billion dollar high-speed rail project stalled and way over budget, eventually may be completed in a decade or two. But for now, California needs good old-fashioned roads that don't disrupt holiday shopping before it starts futuristic projects that it cannot fully fund. California's steep new gasoline tax, one of the highest in the nation, has not even fully kicked in, and yet the cash-strapped state is already complaining that the anticipated additional revenue will be too little. Now, some officials also want to consider taxing motorists for each mile they drive on the state's antediluvian roads. Nature this year is predictably not cooperating with California. In most areas of the Sierra Nevada, the state's chief source of stored water, there is not a drop of snow on the ground. The High Sierra so far this year looks more like Death Valley than the Alpine Switzerland. The last 2 months of California weather were among the driest autumn months on record. Unless 2018 is a miraculously wet year, California will find itself on the cusp of another existential drought. Yet California politicians are currently obsessed with the usual race, class, gender agendas as Sacramento broadcasts that California is sanctuary state exempt from federal immigration laws. Periodically, Governor Jerry Brown, in prophetic Old Testament style, offers rebukes of President Donald Trump as Brown tours the globe as Commander-in-Chief of California. But meanwhile, in real dry world, did Brown's state prepare for such a disaster during either its recent four-year dry spell or its near-record wet year in 2016? Hardly. Some of the 50 consecutive months of drought over some 50 consecutive months of drought, California did not start work on a single major reservoir, though many had long ago been planned and designed. Instead, given the lack of water storage capacity and due to environmental diversions, tens of millions of acre feet of precious runoff water last year were simply let out to the ocean. This year, the state may want all that water back. Silicon Valley is the state's signature cash cow, emblematic of progressive, cool culture and tech savvy. Yet many streets around high-tech corporate campuses are lined with parked Winnebagos that serve as worker housing compounds in nearby Redwood City. World War II-era cottages have become virtual hostels. Trailers, tiny garages, and converted patios serve as quasi-apartments. California may offer the world a smartphone app for every need, but it cannot ensure affordable shelter for those who help to create the world's social media outlets and smartphones. How can so smart be so stupid? Fights over California's coastal corridor this autumn offered a scene out of Dante's Infernos. Fires seem to engulf entire populated hillsides from Los Angeles and Santa Barbara to Santa Rosa. Fires were testament to the fact that a vast majority of Blue State California lives on a thin strip of ecologically sensitive land near the Pacific Ocean. The coastal corridor cannot sustain the 30 million or so residents who cluster there without massive water transfers, excellent freeways and daily rail and truck importation of food, fuel, and construction materials. Hidden behind Tony homes are tent cities and open fires of homeless people who camp out in ravines. The hillsides are overgrown with drought-stricken scrub and half-dead trees, in part due to restrictions on grazing, brush removal, and logging. They prove to be the veritable kindling that fuels raging fires. Coastal California is hilly, difficult to build on, and prone to devastating earthquakes. It is semi-arid without much of an aquifer. Life-giving watershed of the Sierra Nevada is more than 200 miles away. In other words, some of the people most eager to offer green sermons to others live in one of the most artificial and ecologically fragile environments on the planet. So, what are the lessons for the nation on these random glimpses of the 21st century California? Fix pre-modern problems before dreaming about post-modern solutions. Loudly virtue signaling about addressing misdemeanors does not excuse quietly ignoring felonies. Learn how an entire culture is fed, housed, and fueled before faulting those who address such needs. Adopt a little humility in admitting that most of the state is an artificial construct of affluent millions living in a delicate ecosystem where nature never intended them to cluster. Impossible without constant multi-billion-dollar investments in water, agriculture, housing, and transportation. Remember that voting progressively in the abstract does not automatically translate into living progressively in the concrete. Victor Davis Hanson is so right there. And when it comes to the fires that are plaguing the state now, if they had done true conservation techniques like controlled burning of the underbrush, these super fires would not happen, because it is the dense underbrush that they are allowing to stay there that is making them so hot and uncontrollable. Think on that the next time you liberals try to say we don't know what we're talking about. Even nature does that if she is allowed to. And now on to something from another person I have great respect for, Walter E. Williams. He has talked recently about fascism and communism before the question about how about a few statistics. The 20th century was mankind's most brutal century. Roughly 16 million people lost their lives during World War I. About 60 million died during World War II. Wars during the 20th century cost an estimated 71 to 116 million lives. The number of war dead pales in comparison with the number of people who lost their lives at the hands of their own governments. The late Professor Rudolf J. Rummel of the University of Hawaii documented this tragedy in his book, Death by Government, Genocide and Mass Murder Since 1900. Some of the statistics found in the book have been updated. The People's Republic of China tops the list with 76 million lives lost at the hands of the government from 1949 to 1987. The Soviet Union follows with 62 million lives lost from 17 to 87. Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany government killed 21 million people between 33 and 45. Then there are lesser murdering regimes such as the nationalist China, Japan, Turkey, Vietnam, and Mexico. According to Rummel's research, the 20th century saw 262 million people's lives lost at the hands of their own governments. Hitler's atrocities are widely recognized, published, and condemned. World War II's conquering nations' condemnation included denazification and bringing Holocaust perpetrators to trial and punishing them through lengthy sentences and execution. Similar measures were taken to punish Japan's murderers. But what about the greatest murderers in mankind's history, the Soviet Union's Joseph Stalin and China's Mao Zedong? Some leftists saw these communists as heroes. W.E.B. Dubois, writing in the National Guardian in 1953, said Stalin was a great man. Few other men of the 20th century approach his stature. The highest proof of his greatness was that he knew the common man, felt his problems, followed his fate. During Walter Duranty called Stalin the greatest living statesman and a quiet, unobtrusive man. There was even leftist admiration for Hitler and fellow fascist Benito Mussolini. When Hitler came to power in January 1933, George Bernard Shaw described him as a very remarkable man, a very able man. President Franklin Roosevelt called the fascist Mussolini admirable, and he was deeply impressed by what he had accomplished. In 1972, John Kenneth Galbraith visited communist China and praised Mao and the Chinese economic system. Michael Oxenberg, President Jimmy Carter's China expert, complained, "America is doomed to decay until radical, even revolutionary changes, change fundamentally alters the institutions and values." He urged us to borrow ideas and solutions from China. Harvard University professor John K. Fairbank believed that America could learn much from the Cultural Revolution, saying, "Americans may find China's collective life today an ingredient of personal moral concern for one's neighbor that has a lesson for us all." By the way, an estimated 2 million people died during China's Cultural Revolution. More recent praise for murdering tyrants came from Anita Dunn, President Barack Obama's acting communications director in 2009, who said, "Two of my favorite political philosophers are Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa." Recall the campus demonstrations of the 1960s in which campus radicals, often accompanied by their professors, marched around singing the praises of Mao and waving Mao's little red book. That may explain some of the campus mess today. And, of course, a lot of the kids that are in school were never taught right from wrong, were never taught the greatness of America, were never taught why America needs to stand. But they are also one of the first to call for America to help everyone else when everyone else needs help. It doesn't make any sense to me. I really don't understand it at all. It seems that America is one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Or actually, it is. It has been for a long time. China is quickly overtaking that, I think. But what we have here is a nation right now that is constantly in flux with the people who just don't seem to understand what America is about. Yet, they constantly sit there and preach to the rest of us about how we need to be better and how we need to help the world and how we need to do this and how we need to do that. But they have no understanding about the cost of it and where the government gets their money to do all of this stuff. You see, folks, the government gets its money from us taxpayers, which include all these little snowflakes that are running around the nation calling for the United States to do more for everyone else while doing less for us. It seems that America is working on a strict agenda of who cares about us, let's care about everyone else. We will be right back after these messages.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people. Like you, sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Okay, we are back. One of the things that we had planned this weekend for this show actually was supposed to be last weekend, and we didn't do a show last week because of what had happened. My regular computer that I usually use for this didn't work. I had to upgrade it to a new system of the operating system, and I went to the Apple site to do it the way that I was supposed to do it, and somewhere in the middle of uploading it, my internet went down or something happened, and it stopped in the middle of that, and for some reason it, when the internet came back up, it didn't restart. And so now my computer won't start, and I'm having to get some help through Apple to get it going again. But being that as it is, we are still working on trying to get that started. I'm having to do this show on my HP computer, which is one that I don't like to use very often. I don't like PCs, never have, but that is neither here nor there right now. It's the one that I've got to use. From Red Flag News came this one, and this one's a good one. I had to talk about this one. The headline says that they're everywhere, seven conspiracy theories from 2017. And you know that the left lives and dies by their conspiracy theories, and the article pretty much says the same thing, but it says conspiracy theories are nothing new in America, but for perhaps the first time, the country's chief executive is a big fan. During his presidential campaign, Donald Trump suggested that Senator Ted Cruz's father was involved in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and that Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia had been murdered. If 2016 was the year conspiracies started to go mainstream on the right, stop that. Okay. Let's see, I got to open that back up again because it disappeared on me there. But it said if 2016 was the year conspiracy started to go mainstream on the right, 2017 was the year they exploded across the spectrum with the hunt for clues tying Trump to Russia, creating a cottage industry, feeding left wing obsessions as well. Below are just a few of the most prominent conspiracy theories of 2017. Right-wing conspiracy theorists went back to the controversial I'm getting tired of this. I'm having problems with this computer because it's one that I'm not exactly like, but it's really kind of giving me some problems here. But when you look at the lack of diversity sometimes, and it depends on where you are, obviously, but by and large, we're appealing to older white men, and there are just a limited number of them, and anger and resentment are not a governing philosophy. Sooner or later, the voters will figure out, and I think they are and have, that we've got something else. People cheer as President Donald Trump holds a rally at the Pensacola Bay Center on December 8, 2017 in Pensacola, Florida. But the message stood in stark contrast that coming from Donald Trump on Christmas Eve, the vacationing at his Florida golf resort at Mar-a-Lago, Trump claimed that his base was far larger than had been portrayed. The fake news refuses to talk about how big and how strong our base is, he tweeted. They show fake polls, just like they report fake news. Despite only negative reporting, we are doing well. Nobody is going to beat us. Make America great again. Trump has recorded the lowest approval rating in polling history for a president at the end of the first year. As his ratings has shrunk to less than 40%, he has seemingly put an increasing focus on energizing his base rather than appealing to larger swaths of the population. Earlier this month, Trump joined with his former strategist, Steve Bannon, who once called publication he ran Breitbart News as the platform for the alt-right to support Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. After a series of allegations that he preyed upon teenage girls when in his 30s, Moore was defeated by Democrat Doug Jones. Moore and Flake would be a lasting stain on the Republican Party, but he added that he hoped he could lead to Bannon, who is backing a string of anti-establishment candidates in Republican primaries next year, losing any remaining influence. I hope his role is being marginalized, Flake said. The last thing we need is to push an ultra-nationalist, ethno-nationalist, protectionist kind of element of the party. That's not good for us. You know, the things that the media and the Democrats constantly jump on when it comes to the things that they want to have happen, they're always talking about conservative things that are not working for America. And the conservatives in this whole thing seem to just kind of say, back off and say, oh my gosh, that's the truth. We can't do anything about this. The problem with that is, folks, is that with the media and the liberals all saying this, isn't that what they want us to do? Isn't that what they want us to think, that we are not doing what the country wants, when it's completely fair and true to look at and see that the country is behind Donald Trump? Maybe not as much as we would hope they would be, but definitely not as little as the polls show they are. And we have to stop to think here that You know, when the Democrats and the left tell us that Donald Trump's poll numbers are worse than any president in history, isn't that what they want everyone to believe so that Donald Trump can be less popular, less essentially controlling of the public? Because if he's not popular, the public isn't going to follow him, right? That is what the Democrats are trying to push here. And that is the reason why we just cannot believe these polls that they've got out there. Now, today, I was hoping, like I'd said before, I want to bring this up on my episode information. I said the discussion today is going to be centered around Islam and that invasion into this country. Like I have said before, it is an invasion, and like any invasion, they look for the easiest way in, hence the illegal immigration part of this, the open borders. And with a few subjects off that subject as to why making America great again is such a symbol of the left, of fascism and Nazism, when it really isn't. What is driving the left on these issues? Hopefully we can get Kathy Hinners to fill us in on these issues. Well, Kathy, it doesn't look like it's going to be here today, and I really don't blame her for this, because it is, after all, Christmas Eve, and it was kind of a last-minute thing that I had asked her to come in. I had asked her to come in last week, and we didn't get the show to do because my computer broke last week, and I'm still in the process of getting that going, but we've got the PC here going right at the moment, thank goodness. once in a while they do work, I suppose. But we will be right back after this break.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ag Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Luca Chukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky.
Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
Okay, we are back with the final segment of NWCR's radio show, and we are glad that we are here so that we can tell everybody Merry Christmas, and I hope that all of you have a great Christmas, a Happy New Year, and a very great new year too. We have been following around the stories about what is going on, and one of the things that came to mind was the Pennsylvania about police shootings in Pennsylvania. Headline on this one from CNN says, Pennsylvania police shootings were a terror attack, DHS says. The Department of Homeland Security is calling a series of shootings targeting law enforcement in Pennsylvania a terror attack. Authorities called Ahmed Aman L-50, 51, was shot and killed by police Friday in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, after he fired several times at law enforcement officers throughout the city. The string of shootings began just steps from the state's Capitol building when El Mofti fired several times at a Capitol police officer and then shot and injured at a state trooper. Later, he used two handguns to open fire at several officers who then returned fire and killed him, according to a statement from the Dauphin County District Attorney's Office. Dauphin County District Attorney Ed Marisco said there was no doubt that he was directly targeting police officers. CNN affiliate WGAL reported, Tyler Holton, acting DHS press secretary, referred to the incident as a terror attack in a statement released Saturday. He said the incident highlights the Trump administration's concern with extended family chain migration. And that is something that we have really got to get our hands around here, because this whole idea of chain migration, they can come in if they've got family here. Even if the family that's here is illegal, where is the intelligence in that kind of thinking? You know, to me, there is absolutely no intelligence in thinking that chain migration works if the people that can come in because of other people already here come in because of people who are here illegally. If they're here illegally, they're breaking our laws. So that just means that they are not doing what they should be doing to be good Americans. And my idea has always been on this one, if you come into this country illegally and the first act
that you do when coming into this country is illegal, that makes you a criminal. Not to the left, not to the left. They don't think you're a criminal at all. They just think you're just trying to better yourself. And it doesn't matter that you broke laws coming into this nation. It doesn't matter that when you came into this nation, you were breaking the laws of this country. Now, if you were breaking the laws of Mexico or some other country, that might be a different story. But breaking our laws according to the left in this country, that doesn't matter at all. And there is where we really need to start wondering what the heck is going on. We've got a media that has their freedoms to do what they want because of this country, yet here they are doing everything they can to help the left tear this country down. To me, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't it doesn't make anything but insanity look good. And actually, it makes insanity look horrible. But the left thinks it makes insanity look good. That's what they want. They want Americans to think that just because America is a good country, that all we have to do is let these people in. Let them be Americans. Give them citizenship. Doesn't matter that they came here illegally. Give them citizenship. They will be good Americans. No, they won't. And we have to stop and realize this, folks, because as long as we do this and keep bringing in people that break the laws of this nation just to get in here, we're essentially trying to make citizens of criminals. And who better to vote for a Democrat than a criminal? That's my closing statement here. The show is about over, and I am happy that I was able to do this show today. It was mostly ad lib. It was mostly just looking at stories that I could get to come up on my computer while I was doing the show. I'm sorry nobody came into the chat room. But like I said before, I understand. After all, it is Christmas Eve, and people probably are spending time with their families. But that being said, my name is Robert Garding. I didn't give out the phone number for this show today because I really didn't think anybody was going to be here. They will, the show will be listened to in archives. I know that by then it'll be too late to call. But I hope that you all have a Merry Christmas. I hope that you all have a great Christmas, and hope that you get everything that you want, that it's going to be safe and spent with many family members, if not a few anyway. And we will be back next week with our final show of the year. And then after that one, we will be starting 2018 with our first show the first week of January. So we hope that you all have a great Christmas, and I will see you next week. Have a good day. My brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. As soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July.
God bless America, and remember, we will not be ruled. Have a good day.